Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see all of you here this morning. I see you've all survived Thanksgiving and all the food, and glad to have you here this morning. Okay, a couple announcements as you begin. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, just an update here on the hanging of the greens. That will be here next Sunday. We'll kind of finalize the greens, and the children always get to take part in that, so I hope the kids can come and be a part of just finalizing the hanging of the greens. That's always just a nice traditional thing that we do, and I look forward to that. So bring your grandkids, bring your children, come and be a part of that. Let them be a part of that finalizing of the greens here at Moscow. Also, because next Sunday is the beginning of Advent, we will be needing Advent readers and candle lighters. If you would like to participate in that, I had one person already share that they would like to help, but we'll need more. If you can would like to participate or would like to be a reader for one of those Sundays of Advent coming up, please let me know following the service that you can participate and be a part of that. So I hope that you can. Also, just a reminder, too, that our Bible study will be picking up this evening, 4 to 5 o'clock here in the fellowship hall. We'll be moving into chapter 6, Shining for Christ. So I hope that you come prepared to discuss and be a part of that that Bible study. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this season, Lord, of Advent in which we are to enter into this coming Sunday. And Lord, we just pray as we prepare ourselves for Advent, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to receive again the message of love, the message of hope, message of peace, the message of joy, Lord, that we receive at Christmas because, Lord, we have received your Son, Jesus. Lord, I know this is a busy time of year, and our busyness has already started, even with gathering with family over Thanksgiving or traveling. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, we don't get too busy. Lord, that our busyness doesn't distract us from our true celebration, our true purpose, Lord, in Advent, to celebrate and to worship your Son, Jesus, his coming here to earth, Lord, his sacrifice and his eventual death and resurrection there in Israel. Lord, we just thank you so much for your Son, Christ. We praise his name here this morning, and all that we do, we seek to glorify him. His name above any other name, Lord. We seek to glorify the name of Jesus, and we praise him here together. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together in our call to worship. Nancy, thank you. That was beautiful. It's in the inside of your bulletin, if coming from portions of Matthew 10. And Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Let us turn in our hymnal to page 505. Love Lifted Me. Page 505. Isn't it great to be here just singing about how love lifted us? Oh, we could be anywhere this morning, but we're here singing about God's love. And boy, that just makes you feel so good. And love certainly lifted us. I hope that you all have been lifted by the love of God. Okay, I want to take just a couple minutes to share praises or prayer requests. And one praise. I'm going to start with a praise, though. Praise for yesterday's success of the movie day for the children. We had that youth movie event, and I think there was about 15 or so from our church that was there. but there were a lot more from other churches as well. I think there were probably at least 50 or 60 people there, in my estimation. And we just had a wonderful time together. There was a lot of laughs shared over the movie The Grinch. And I think everybody really had a good time. And so hopefully we'll continue to do that movie event at Christmas in coming years. I think it's worked out real well. And just in general, the ministerial group, those youth events that they're trying to do with the children so that the area churches can participate. Some of the churches just have a couple youth. And so it's so nice to have something that we can all get together and give all the youth something to participate in, the children something to participate in. And so hopefully we'll have some more announcements about other neat and cool things that the kids can look forward to and activities with the ministerial group. Okay, by way of prayer request, if you would put down Lee Lanton. Oh, there she is. Lee is here. I was going to be in prayer for you, Lee. You're feeling better? Yeah, that Lee's got a joy. Lee had been dealing with the vertigo, which if you've never had that before, praise God. But if you've had, you know what it is. It's just a spinning motion that you feel. And Lee's been on a roller coaster for spinning around and around for a couple of days. But praise God, she's feeling better now. Yeah, and Alan, he takes good care of you. So we just praise the Lord for that. And just add that as another praise on our list. So Lee, so glad to have you back and glad you're feeling better. Also, Wesley Black, he, of course, is recovering still from that surgery on his foot. Everything went good with the surgery. We praise the Lord for that. But now it just is going to take some mending back of the bones and mending back of all the work that the doctors did. So if you would continue to keep him in your prayers. If you see him, he's on a knee roller, and he's not here today, but if you see him out and about, he's using the knee roller. I found that it's much better than the crutches. So we just praise the Lord. We have I don't know how many of you know, but we have a medical closet here. And it's downstairs. It's basically just medical items that people have donated. There's knee rollers, there's crutches, there's shower chairs. I mean, just all sorts of things that you can use. Just let Kenny Woods or myself know, and we'll check the item out so we know where it goes. We even have a hospital bed down there, several wheelchairs. It's really nice to have. And if you have medical items in your home that you would like to donate to the medical closet, we certainly would accept them if they're good, you know, items that are still in good quality or good use or still can be used, I guess. And so just keep that in mind if you have a need. We're so glad that we had a knee roller for Wesley to use, and we're just glad that he's getting around good with that. Well, we keep him in our prayers. We continue to pray for Gail and for her family, loss of her dad, Steve, and we just will be in prayer with her. The service for him is coming up today, yes, and so if you would just be in prayer for Gail. We praise the Lord that while her dad is not here, we still can give thanks that he is resting at home with the Lord, and there's no more sickness there, and he is whole and healed. And we just praise the Lord for that. So Gail, we certainly pray for you, though, and your family today, and continue to lift you up in prayer. We know God can comfort you, and God can heal your heart, and that's our prayer for you. Also, if you would lift up the Plogger family, Debbie Plogger family. Maybe you might recognize her name. I got word that she had passed away, and so if you would just be in prayer for her husband, Donnie, and for their family, the Plogger family, if you would. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Marcia?
I just want to thank everybody for the prayers for Wesley.
Yes. Absolutely. We continue to pray. But Marcia, we appreciate you saying that, and we pray for you too. I know that's a...
I'm going back to school tomorrow, and I'll go back to work.
That'll be good. Yeah, that'll be great. We had a thanks in our family for just being able to get together with my dad, and he was well enough to have Thanksgiving with all of us. And so we would just praise the Lord for that. We know that's answered prayers from so many of you praying for him. It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for all those prayers. So we thank you for that. And we had a blessed Thanksgiving day there together. As many of you had just blessed Thanksgiving days with your family and friends. With that, I'm going to have the ushers come forward now to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you this morning. We again continue with our praise of thanksgiving for you, Lord. We continue to give thanks to you for in all things, Lord. You bless us. Lord, you care for us. You protect us. You watch over us, Lord. You provide for us. Lord, there's just too many areas to remember or to know, Lord, of all the ways that you bless us. But Lord, we are thankful for those things we are familiar with, Lord, that you bless us, and those, Lord, that we still haven't been revealed yet. Lord, we continue to give you thanks in all things, seen and unseen, in our life. Lord, we give you thanks that we can come this morning, that we can pour out our worship, our praise to you here, that we can offer our tithes and our offerings to you, Lord. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to serve you. What a blessing that is. Lord, you give us the opportunity to do that. We thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to allow us to serve you and to worship you and to praise you. We thank you, Lord, you saw fit to send us your Son, Jesus. Lord, that you loved us so much, you were willing to send us your own Son, your only Son, Lord. And he came to us, Lord, in the form of a baby. And Lord, he grew into a man. And Lord, he would sacrifice himself there upon a cross for us on Calvary. Lord, you want us to know just how much you love us. And Father, we thank you for that love which we have received from you. Lord, that love truly has lifted us here this morning. I pray that if any of us are feeling down this morning, or if any of us, Lord, feel as if we're less than, Lord, that we might be again reminded that your love is real and true, and Lord, you seek to lift us with your love and raise us up, Lord, to dust us off when we're knocked down and to set us back on our way. Lord, we thank you that our families were able to gather on Thanksgiving, Lord. Many are traveling now. We pray for traveling safety for those that are away. Lord, we just give you praise again in all things. Lord, we pray now for our service, Lord, as we open our Bible and seek your word. Lord, I pray that you continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word. And bless us, I pray, as we seek to serve you. Lord, we praise you now. Bless those on our prayer list that are lifted up this morning. And Lord, answer those prayers as only you can. And we give you praise. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's group can be dismissed. Children's church, youth Sunday school. Thanks for all those helping with that. In your scripture, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, looking at just one verse here. And this is really going to come to a close on a series now of what did Jesus say about that. And boy, this thing has went longer than I thought it would, but it seemed like every time I finished a Sunday, another topic would just come to mind about what Jesus would say about that certain particular thing. And we've covered a variety of topics. I would say there's probably close to a dozen sermons here building into this series of sermons. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you continue to study God's Word and see what Jesus has to say about certain things. He spoke towards and to a variety of different things. And it's interesting to see exactly what Jesus had to say about these certain things. And so I encourage you on your own to keep reading your Bible. Keep studying, keep opening the Word of God. And keep paying attention to those red letters that they're read in your Bible. Those are the words of Christ. And they're important. They're very important. All the words of Scripture are very important. But the words in red in particular are those words of Jesus, the words of God, and those topics in which he spoke too. Sunday before last, I spoke on what Jesus had to say about heaven. And we're going to finish on this one, what Jesus had to say about heaven. Hell. Now, that's not a very popular topic in the church, I don't think. You don't hear the church talk a lot about hell. You hear the church talk a good bit about heaven, but not a whole lot about hell. It seems it can be an uncomfortable or even avoidable sort of subject within the church. It certainly wasn't avoidable to Jesus, though. He spoke about hell. He talked about hell. And so we want to look at what Jesus had to say this morning about it. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew 25. Just one verse here that we'll be preaching out of, although there are various other scriptures that would aid to this verse and Jesus talking about hell. And so I won't cover them all, but I think for the purpose of this morning, this one verse alone will share into the topic that we are looking at. So verse 41 there, Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And many pastors, I think, struggle with the doctrines of hell. R.C. Sproul once was asked which doctrine that he struggles most with in the Scriptures, and he replied, "Hell is the one that he struggled most with." So why do you think hell is such an avoidable or a topic that many want to avoid or not think about? Well, I tried to think about that a little bit. Maybe it's just because it's such a horrible place. It's such a place of suffering, a place of torment. It's so terrible of a place that maybe that we don't even want to have that thought in our mind. That we don't want our minds to dwell on the things that exist there in hell, or the punishment that exists there in hell. It's just such a terrible place that we don't want to think too long about it. Still, I thought maybe some others don't want to talk or think about hell because maybe they just want to avoid its existence altogether. I wonder if that isn't why many people refuse to think about hell or talk about hell. Some just refuse to believe hell exists altogether, don't they? It's just easier maybe in their mind to just erase it as if it doesn't exist than to actually have to deal with the thought that there is a hell. And let me tell you, friends, there is a hell. Jesus spoke about a place called hell. Even here in our scripture, notice here, this place that's prepared here. And so I want you to know that there is a place called hell. It's a real place. That's a place that exists for the suffering of souls that have rejected Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's a place where the devil will be found, and eventually, and all those fallen angels as well will be eventually cast in to hellfire. And so we might want to ignore it, but that doesn't not make it true. Just because you want to ignore it, or just because people might want to act like it doesn't exist, that doesn't change the truth one bit. That this place called hell certainly does exist. It is a real place where people go that have refused or rejected Christ as Lord and Savior. That's it. That's how you end up there. You've rejected the Savior. And because of that, you are cast away into a place where the Scriptures and Jesus would say there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like a very good place, does it? If I was to offer you to go somewhere where this wonderful place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, I don't think anybody would want to take me up on that offer. So it's not a good place. It's never described in a good way. It's always described as a place of torment, a place of suffering. That's what hell is. It's kind of this eternal holding place. I would think of it more like a prison, almost. A prison for souls. And it's always described in the negative. Hell's described in the negative. Heaven's described in the positive, isn't it? Wonderful things are found in heaven, and you know, in heaven there is no tears in heaven. In hell there's only tears. Think about that. In hell there's only tears. There's only weeping. There's only gnashing of teeth. So this real suffering. In hell it's dark. Outer darkness is the way it's described. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced total darkness before. Kind of tough to experience total darkness. Even when you close your eyes, tight as they can get, you can still see little stars that are, you know, in your eyelids, or you can still see some light. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave, though. If you ever took one of those tours where they would take you in the cave, and you're down underneath the ground, and one of the interesting things that they do on those tours, at least they did it Grand Caverns when I went, is they would turn the light off for just a few seconds to let you experience total darkness. Maybe you've got to do that. And you can, in total darkness, you can put your hand right here in front of your eye and you cannot see it. If you hadn't been on one of those tours, go do it. It's one of the few places you can experience total darkness. And once the light goes out, that's it. You can see nothing. There is no light down there in the cave. And that's hell. There is nothing. It's total darkness. It's outer darkness is the way the Bible describes it. And there's nothing there. Even if there was something, you wouldn't be able to see it, would you? It seems like the only thing that is there is hellfire, torment, burning, this never-ending burning. One of the words, there's several words in the scriptures that they use for hell. One of the words is Gehenna, and that was to describe a place outside of Jerusalem where, outside of Israel, where there was this dump, basically. It was the, you might call it the Jerusalem landfill. And all the trash from the town would be brought out and kind of thrown into this ditch. And it was referred to as Gehenna. And they would set the trash on fire. They would constantly be burning. And you could imagine the smell of that area, this constant burning of trash, burning of dead animals and whatever else was thrown into the ditch. And they referred to that place as Gehenna, this never-ending fire of burning there. And so the scriptures at times would kind of make this comparison. It would give an image in their mind of what this hell is. It's like Gehenna. It's like the dump that's on fire and constantly and continually burning, this stench coming up from it. And so it was quite a visual thing in their mind of what hell must be, this continual burning. There's no light there. It's only suffering. There's no good there. It's only bad. And so I tell you, no person should want to go to hell. Yet, of course, you hear some people say, well, I even seen a bumper sticker not too long ago that said something about when they were to die, they were going to hell, but at least they were going to have a party while they were there. That was kind of the thought of the bumper sticker. And I just felt like you kind of just roll your eyes and shake your head that they know nothing about what hell is. But it's definitely not a party. There's no, you won't even see anyone in hell. It's complete isolation. That's what solitary confinement is. That we punish people here with solitary confinement because it's punishment. And yet, for some reason, they think they're going to get to hell and have a big party. Listen, hell is solitary confinement, not only from each other, but worst of all, from God. There's no presence of God in hell. Think of that. You know, all your life, even if you don't know God, even if you don't worship God, you have been blessed by the presence of God in this world through His creation. And the creation is tainted to some extent, so we only get to experience that in part. Creation has fallen, right? It's under the curse of sin. And yet, it's still so wonderful, isn't it? Even under the curse, it's still such a blessed thing. He looked upon His creation and said it was good. But all things that God has made, all the blessings and benefits of God, even if we don't worship God, even if we don't recognize or know God, we experience it. God makes it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Think everybody gets to experience the blessings of God here on earth. But in hell, there are no blessings of God there. There's just the absence of God. And then I think it's also the conscience of knowing that you spend eternity there and have missed out on the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Christ. So there's just sorrow, there's sadness there, it's dark. It's not any place that anyone should want to go or even joke about going to. It's foolish to joke about these sorts of things. So Jesus, it might be an avoidable topic for us. It's not an avoidable topic for Christ. He talked about it. And I think the reason that Jesus talked about hell so much is because it helps shape our understanding and view of the gospel. God's holiness and our depravity even. But if we can't accept the reality of hell, we won't rightly understand or receive the glory of the gospel. I think by knowing the worst, we can appreciate the good, is kind of what I'm saying. To know what God has saved us from is to better value the sort of salvation which God has given us. And so Jesus talked about hell. Even John MacArthur said, Jesus talked more about hell than he even did about heaven in order to warn men of its reality. And so this from the very bad, we can appreciate the very good, can't we? It's kind of like if you've ran a marathon or you haven't had something to drink in a long time, when you do get that water, you appreciate it that much more, don't you? Think how much better the water tastes after you've ran a race or when you're parched and you need water. Maybe you've worked and you haven't had a drink and you finally get that cold glass of water. It tastes so good, doesn't it? And I think that's why Jesus talks about hell. He's to show us the very worst so that we appreciate the very best. You know, one misconception that people make about God is that just because he talked about hell and that he tells us of the suffering of hell, that makes God somehow evil or unloving. You ever heard that? How can you serve a God that would send someone to suffer in hell? I mean, have you heard that one before? How can you serve a God that would want to punish someone for all eternity? How can you serve a God? And the idea is that because hell exists, because there is this place of torment of souls, that God then must be inherently bad or evil. And that's far from the truth. You know, God did everything possible that man wouldn't have to go into hell. Think about that. That's how it should be framed. That God has done everything possible, including sending His own Son, His only Son, to take on human flesh, to live under the suffering of this world, and then to die upon a cross, so that no one would have to go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And so that, you know, this idea that God is evil or bad because hell exists, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And He's done everything in His power so that no person would have to go there. I heard Adrian Rogers once say that God put a cross between you and hell. And if you want to go to hell, you will literally have to crawl over the cross of Jesus to get there. It's not, literally, you have to crawl over the cross. You have to crawl over the dead body of Christ to get to hell, because He has placed this. He has placed that in between you and hell. And He doesn't want to see anyone go there. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. That's what the Scriptures say. God is not willing that any should perish. So what does our Scripture here tell us about hell? What does Jesus have to say about hell? Well, number one, I want you to notice here, it is a prepared place. Verse 41 there, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared." Now, who does it say it's prepared for, though? For the devil and his angels. That's just another kind of apologetic when someone says that, why would God send someone to hell? Well, you know, the intent was never for any man to go to hell. Notice that hell was not created for man. Who's hell created for? The devil and his angels. That's the purpose of hell. It was never created. God didn't have in mind when He created hell, well, that's where man will go. That was created for the devil. Hell was created for the devil. Its purpose was for the punishment of Satan and his followers. Because Satan had fallen, from the grace of God. Satan had rebelled from God. If you turn back to Isaiah, you can get a Isaiah chapter 12. You turn back there with me. Isaiah 14. You get a glimpse of Satan's fall. The fall of Lucifer. Maybe you've never seen this before. Isaiah chapter 14. You can get a glimpse here of the fall of Satan. It's recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 14, picking up at verse 12 there. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, it says. Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. Boy, Satan, quite an evil person here, isn't he? Here he was created by God. God had created Lucifer, this glorious angel, to have a purpose of worshiping and praising God there in heaven. God had created Lucifer for this purpose, and yet we see the creation, we see Lucifer rejecting what his purpose was. We see him rejecting God, and rather than worshiping and praising God, what do you see Lucifer saying? He says in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. Not God, but him. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is the stars referencing, I think they're angels, the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. Notice here what he's saying. On the farther sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Boy, Satan sure is filling himself with pride here, isn't he? I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to be the one that God will serve over you. That you will serve me. You will worship me. I will be your God. I will be the Most High, is what Satan is saying. Boy, you think God appreciated that? No. God was greatly angered by what Satan, what Lucifer had chosen. He had chosen to reject God. And you know, Lucifer wasn't just satisfied with him rejecting God. But then he came down to earth and he tricked Adam and Eve, didn't he? He deceived them. You know, misery loves company, doesn't it? You ever heard that? Misery loves company. And we see here that this Satan came down. He was upon earth even, and this deceiving that he did. I think all this just angered God. And of course, God then created this hell, this place of anguish where Satan and those who followed Satan would be cast. Look at verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. That's hell. That's another word in the Scriptures for hell, this dwelling place. To the lowest depth of the pit is what God says. And those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as the wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? And it goes on to say that Satan will be cast down. He will be put in hell. Sheol is the word there it uses. And so this place was prepared. Hell was a place prepared for Satan, for Lucifer there, and his angels, and all those that have fallen with him. It was never intended for us, but notice, because people have rejected God, that they choose the same They choose the same inheritance as Satan, which is hell. Okay, number one, it's a prepared place. Number two, I want you to notice it is a place of punishment. Depart from me, you cursed. Notice that Jesus is using this, even this whole story here where this is coming from, it's all in the context of punishing someone who is disobedient. You go back to verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His holy angels, we're back at Matthew now, Matthew chapter 25, He will sit on the throne of His glory, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Notice here, this is God judging, isn't it? He's judging the people. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. And the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And He goes on to identify who they were. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. But He moves on down. And there we get to verse 41. And He talks about those who were disobedient, those who were rejecting of God. He will say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So this is a place of punishment. Those who have rejected God will be punished for the rejection of God. He is judging the nations, the sheep and the goats, the righteous and the unrighteous, the saved and the unsaved. And whenever Jesus makes reference to hell, it's always described as a place of punishment or a place of judgment, a place of torment, a place of sorrow. And so this is eternal punishment. And I think of someone suffering for eternity. That's nothing to play around with. There's a famous sermon that was written called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I don't know if you've ever read that sermon. I can't think of the fellow that wrote the sermon. But it's quite remarkable how he describes hell. And it's so vivid in his description of hell that it could bring a person, I think, to tears in just thinking about how horrible a place that this exists, that a place this is and where people can go. And he describes a person kind of hanging over the pits of hell as if they're hung there by the thread of a spider. They're just barely hanging. And the thought was that all humanity is hanging over this pit, and that any moment if they've rejected Christ, that thread will break and they would fall down into that pit for eternity. Hellfire, torment, punishment, forever and ever and ever. And his thought was, you need to get your life right with Jesus now. Don't leave yourself hanging over that pit of hellfire by just a thread. Don't hold your all eternity there. Don't play around with eternity, really. Don't gamble your eternity. Make sure that you're right with Christ now. Don't wait. Do it now is kind of what he says. And I think he's right. We need to make sure that our eternity is secure, because hellfire is too horrible to think that we would spend eternity there. It's worse than we could ever imagine. Hell is prepared. Hell is punishment. Lastly, hell is permanent. It's permanent. Notice what he says there again, into everlasting. The word there is everlasting. Hell never ends. It's torment, it's punishment that never ends. There's no end to it. I know that's hard to get our brains around. If we're sick for more than a couple days, we're in misery, aren't we? We don't like to be sick more than a couple days, Could you imagine feeling the worst you could ever feel for eternity? It never ends. It's forever and ever and ever. Hell is permanent. You can't undo hell. That's what the rich man tried to do in Lazarus. Remember that in Luke chapter 16? He was in torment. He wanted just a drop of water. If you could just put a drop of water on my tongue. I'm in torment. It's so hot. And then he says, just let me go back and warn my family. That was his one desire in hell. Let me go back and tell them, don't come to this place. You think that's the thought of every person in hell right now? Every person in hell. The one thought they're holding in their mind is that they wish they could come back and tell somebody, don't come here. It's punishment. It's horrible. It's the worst you can ever imagine. Just let me go back, Jesus. Let me warn my family. And you know what the answer was? You can't. You've made your choice, and you have to live with it. You can't go back. They have their choice too. They have to make their own, just as you made yours. It's an eternal consequence, isn't it? It should bring us to tears to think that those around us might slip away into hell because of their unbelief. Such a horrible place. I think that's why when Jesus looked upon Israel, he wept for them, because he knew that where they were going, it would be better that they had never been born. Isn't that what he said to Judas? Judas was going to hell. And Jesus said, it'd been better that you would never have been born than to have to go endure what you're about to endure. Eternal punishment. Eternal torment. There's no party in hell. I tell you, I hope that you hear this message this morning. If you haven't made the decision to make Christ your Lord and Savior, then you are playing Russian roulette with your life every day. You're gambling your life every single day that you haven't made that decision. And if the gun goes off, basically, if your life ends before you've made that eternal commitment to receive Christ, buddy, when you leave here, you're not going up. You're going straight down. It's nothing to mess around with. Eternity is a long time, friends. Do you want to spend it in heaven? Or do you want to spend it in torment and hell? I know where I want to spend it. It's real. These are two real places. And when you leave here, you're going from one place to the other. And I pray each of you have made the commitment to receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so that when you leave here, you're going up. Because the alternative, you can't even think about it. And tell your friends, it's not good enough that we know, is it? Your family, your friends, your children, your grandchildren. Be telling them about Christ and the importance of receiving Him so that we can inherit eternal life in heaven. We have got to get on fire, folks, and start telling those around us that are playing Russian roulette with their life every day. They need to hear the truth. Maybe the church needs to start talking about hell a little bit more and warning people that this place exists and that they can avoid it if they just receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You would not want to see anyone suffer the torment and punishment of hell. But Lord, You've done everything possible that we might avoid that place. by receiving your son Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for each person here that has made that commitment in their life to follow you. Lord, if there's any here that hasn't made that commitment, I pray they pray with me even now. Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I seek to follow you, not to serve myself anymore like Satan, not to make myself a god, but Lord, I seek to serve you as the true and living God now. I seek to follow your example. Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit into my life. Lord, I want to be your disciple. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you have given to every person that prays that prayer, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for those in our family and our community around us, Lord, that might be risking their life every day, still hanging from that thread over the pits of hell. Lord, help us to rescue those that are heading towards the wrong place. Lord, give us the strength we need to proclaim the truth and the good news while we still have breath within our lungs and while there's still time. Lord, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. Page 428, I Need Thee Every Hour. Page 428. Let's stand together and sing. Bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us from hell. Lord, without your Son, without his salvation, Lord, we would all enter into that place. But Father, you have spared all who would receive your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for the salvation which we have received by making you, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for those around us, Lord, that need that truth in their life. Lord, we don't want to see anyone enter into hell, nor do you. But Lord, that all might be saved. Lord, give this church the strength, the voice that it needs to proclaim that truth to the world around us. Lord, give us the words we need to speak, Lord, and the courage to speak them in this day and hour. Lord, people need to hear the truth. And they need to know the love of Jesus. And Lord, help us to proclaim that as you call us, Lord. Bless us, I pray, this week as we go. Lord, let us just be lifted up by your love and by your promise, Lord, that we will receive that eternal kingdom of heaven, Lord, when we leave this place. Father, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.